Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. On Thursday, Greece's lawmakers ratified a historic defense deal with France that includes a mutual assistance clause in case of an armed attack against either, the first such deal between two NATO members. The agreement was announced in Paris last week by Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and French President Emmanuel Macron, with Greece also announcing plans to buy three French frigates. Prime Minister Mitsotakis hailed the agreement as the cornerstone of an independent European defense policy. John Psaropoulos joins The Greek Current to discuss today's important vote in Greece's parliament, place this deal within the context of Greek-Turkish relations, and look ahead at what this agreement will mean for Greek-French relations. John Psaropoulos is an independent journalist based in Athens and Al Jazeera's Southeast Europe correspondent. John, it's great to have you back on The Greek Current.
Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Today, Greece's parliament ratified the landmark defense deal between Greece and France. Can you talk about today's vote in parliament and the significance of this deal for Greece?
Well, the vote seems to have been largely on party lines, with much of the opposition voicing concerns about aspects of the deal. But I think there's no question this defense partnership with France is of enormous national importance to Greece. It's the second mutual defense pact Greece has concluded in the last 12 months. Last November, it had a defense pact with the United Arab Emirates, but this is the first one with another NATO member. And I think in that respect, the deal deserves mention as a historic landmark within NATO because it's the first time two NATO members are guaranteeing each other's security against a potential attack from another NATO member. That's never happened before.
You talked about how this deal was voted on basically on party lines, and former Prime Minister and current opposition leader Alexis Tsipras described the defense deal as a mistake, and he voted against it. What is the opposition concerned about?
Well, if you look at where the trouble between Greek and Turkish ships has taken place in the last year and a half, it's been outside of Greek or Turkish territorial waters, which are 6 miles from the coast of each country and from the Greek islands. The trouble has taken place in what's called the exclusive economic zone area, where countries can, if they conclude agreements with their neighbors, exercise a kind of commercial sovereignty where they can have exclusive rights, for example, to drill for oil and gas, and they have responsibilities to protect the natural environment. But no such agreement exists between Greece and Turkey. The broader maritime area between them is disputed, if you like. Greece says we want to make a deal, but if we do it, we have to do it on the lines of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, UNCLOS, which is the international maritime standard for delimitation of exclusive economic zones and continental shelves. Turkey says, look, I'm not a signatory to that agreement, so let's do something discretionary that favors me a little bit more. And the Greeks won't do that because they know it wouldn't be ratified by Parliament. So all of these disputes you see on the high seas of either Turkish drill ships coming into what Greece considers part of its maritime jurisdiction or Greek-employed or foreign-employed survey ships conducting exploration for natural gas in areas that have been conceded by Greece to international oil majors and intercepted by Turkish ships. All of those disputes have taken place in that so-called exclusive economic zone area. So Syriza's disagreement with this agreement with France is that if you're going to have a mutual defense agreement, you've got to get the French to come to your aid if there's a dispute in that area, not just in territorial waters or sovereign airspace on the sovereign land of the country, because Turkey hasn't attempted to do a land grab. So Syriza says it's not really relevant. But I think the objection here is that, first of all, something on Greek sovereign soil or territorial water or sovereign airspace could happen, given the rising instability in the region. And secondly, there is a psychological impact in the region of France saying, I have now been invited as a security guarantor in the Eastern Mediterranean, and I am willing to play that role. I think the Greeks are counting on the psychological impact, the deterrent effect of that agreement merely being in existence, partially to secure against any future irrational actions by Turkey.
And Prime Minister Mitsotakis, in his speech in Parliament, said, and I'm going to quote him here, "For the first time, an explicit and unequivocal military assistance clause is provided in the case of a third-party attack on one of the two states." And he added that we all know who is threatening whom with a casus belli or a cause for war in the Eastern Mediterranean, a clear reference to Turkey. Can you place this deal within the broader context of Greco-Turkish relations?
Well, the Greeks have been scrambling for bilateral alliances ever since they realized during last year's crisis on the high seas with Turkey that neither the European Union as a body nor NATO as a body would come to Greece's assistance if there were ever a shooting war between Greece and Turkey. And these two mutual defense agreements with the United Arab Emirates and France are very, very important agreements. Greece has also been rearming. It's going to be upgrading 85 of its F-16s to Viper level, and it's going to be buying 24 fourth-generation fighter jets from France. Those are the Rafale jets for $2.5 billion. Turkey doesn't have anything approaching the Viper or the Rafale in its arsenal of about 235 F-16s, which are not being upgraded by Lockheed Martin. The frigate purchase that accompanies this mutual defense agreement is also an enormous qualitative leap over and above what either Greece or Turkey have in their arsenals right now. It's going to provide the Greek Navy with hypersonic missiles, the Aster 30 missiles, with a range of about 130 kilometers. It's going to provide what defense experts call an ecosystem working with the French Rafale jets so that one ship or one airplane can send radar intelligence to the other and provide targeting assistance. So effectively, you've got scout missiles in the air coming off of the Rafales and Aster 30 missiles coming off of the ships at sea. That's a formidable combination. Turkey has nothing to match that. So the broader context of Greek-Turkish relations in the last 3 years is Greece is rearming in order to deter any further aggression from Turkey, and it is also bolstering its diplomatic relations. This defense agreement with France is one aspect of that. Another is that it has now agreed its exclusive economic zone delimitation with Egypt to the south and Italy to the west. So it's trying to show Turkey, look, it's perfectly possible to conclude these agreements. You just have to have the political will to do it.
The ratification of this deal took place one day after the 63rd round of exploratory talks in Ankara between Greece and Turkey, where a Turkish ruling party spokesman made remarks about Turkey's irredentist blue homeland doctrine. It also followed a recent escalation of tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean that saw Greece file a formal complaint with Turkey over the alleged harassment of the Nautical Geo, a vessel that was conducting research southeast of Crete. Can you talk about these latest developments? Would you say this is part of a broader Turkish reaction to the Greece-France deal?
Well, the harassment, according to Greek diplomatic sources, of the Nautical Geo, a Maltese-flagged vessel in the employ of an Italian company surveying the Mediterranean Sea floor in order to map out the best possible route for the East Med pipeline, which Greece and Israel and Cyprus have committed to build. This is an example of what the Greeks point to as the difference between Turkish words and Turkish actions. Turkey says, look, we can conclude a maritime delimitation agreement. And even though we're not signatories to UNCLOS, enough of UNCLOS is now effectively customary law. Non-signatory countries use it as a default standard for concluding agreement, that we too can latch on to these aspects of UNCLOS without signing on to the full maritime law package. But in fact, they harass Greek-employed survey vessels in the exclusive economic zone, and they are not making great progress in these exploratory talks. But the Greeks say, in fact, when it comes to actions, Turkey does not make progress in the exploratory talks. It was brought back reluctantly to these talks at the beginning of this year under U.S. and European pressure, and it isn't willing to actually commit to aspects of international maritime law, UNCLOS, in order to make a speedy agreement with the Greeks. A delimitation could have been agreed if there were political will. The Greeks don't trust that there is. The foreign ministry believes that Turkey is effectively exercising gunboat diplomacy in order to squeeze as many concessions as possible from the Greeks. And they think that Turkish statement to the effect that Turkey wants to reach a deal with the Greeks disingenuous. So here, in the last 30 days, we've seen an example of what they're talking about. There are alleged wishes for a delimitation from the Turkish side, and there is harassment of a survey ship in what Greece considers its exclusive economic zone.
John, the issue of the nautical geo that we talked about is particularly interesting within the context of this agreement between Greece and France, because it raises the question about whether France would come to Greece's aid in the event that tensions within Greece's exclusive economic zone or its continental shelf escalate to a gunfight between Greek and Turkish Navy vessels. What have experts and diplomatic sources told you about this?
Greek diplomatic sources are slightly ambivalent about whether French military assistance could be invoked if there were a gunfight on the high seas outside territorial waters. That's a gray area, technically speaking. And the Greek side is suggesting that it would ask the French to consider military intervention if something violent happened on the high seas at Turkish instigation. But the agreement, if you read it, doesn't imply that that is an obligation. It only talks about an obligation to mutually assist each other if there is an outside attack on territory. Territory means the land or the territorial water, 6 nautical miles from the coast, or the national airspace above the land and territorial water of each country. So I would say it doesn't appear to be a commitment or an obligation between the two countries, but Greek side is saying we would still invoke the treaty if that were to happen.
John, Prime Minister Mitsotakis, he hailed this agreement as the cornerstone of an independent European defense policy. At the same time, we've seen some leaders like NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg say that they're skeptical about European defense deals outside the NATO framework. Can you expand on how this message by Mitsotakis and Macron has been received in the rest of Europe?
When Mitsotakis and Macron announced their mutual defense partnership on September 28th, the immediate reaction from the U.S. State Department was to welcome it, saying that it's an agreement between two NATO members that strengthens NATO as a whole. And that is something that the Greeks and the French have sought to reinforce. They've been saying two things. One, we see this as a good thing for NATO and also the beginnings of a possible European independent defense policy. And they're saying we also are not trying to start an arms race with anybody. And the Greeks particularly are saying that they do not want to start an arms race with Turkey. So the initial reaction from the United States, which is the most important partner to both countries, is positive, and that's important. There isn't much of a reaction from the rest of Europe. Germany is still in the aftermath of an election that didn't produce a government yet, so the parties are negotiating. It's not clear what Germany's defense policy will be under the Social Democrats and the Greens if they do end up leading a new government. We also haven't really heard much from the rest of Europe because most of Western Europe, most of the big countries and the big economies in Europe who would be the backbone of a common European defense are secure. They don't face territorial threats from the East the way Greece does and a few other countries do from Russia. The Europeans have always been on the back foot about having a common defense policy. They've always defaulted by relying on NATO, and that's been a common position that everybody was able to live with for a long time. But after the instability that is beginning to emerge in the Eastern Mediterranean, partly as a result of the United States becoming less engaged in the area and other countries trying to fill in this power vacuum, notably Turkey and Russia, after these developments, there's more of an impetus on the part, certainly of Greece and Cyprus, EU members, to begin developing a much more active defense policy. And France, which sees Turkey as a rival for influence in the Mediterranean and North Africa, also seems to put up a containment policy against Turkey. So now there is a new impetus within Europe, but it's a small kernel of countries. It's basically Greece and France at the moment who are trying to lead the charge in favor of a more independent defense policy. We'll see where it goes. It's very early days.
John, looking ahead, what does this deal mean for Greek-French relations, and does it provide room for expanding the defense partnership between the two countries?
Yes, it definitely expands the defense partnership. The agreement, which is only about 10 pages long, is amazingly far-reaching. The policy changes it suggests. It calls on the leaders of government of Greece and France to hold an annual strategic dialogue to align their foreign and defense policies. The defense and foreign ministers of the two countries also have to have an annual strategic dialogue for the same reason. And the chiefs of staff of the two countries have to have at least an annual meeting in order to better align their policies at the tactical level. It's a very far-reaching agreement if it's implemented to the full in terms of the degree of coordination that it demands of Greece and France in foreign and defense policy. It also calls on Greece and France to bring their defense industries close together with all of what that might imply. It could imply technology transfers to Greece. It could imply French buyouts or joint partnerships of Greek companies. Greece has been looking for strategic partners for all of its major defense industries, and it's looking chiefly to Israel, the United States, and France. And the agreement calls on Greece and France to have regular exercises and training together. This is a real partnership. The name is not an exaggeration. So I think that you will see Greece and France aligning much more closely in future, and that may have implications for other policy areas as well.
John, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current again. Great speaking with you, as always.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In other news, European leaders are begging Brussels for a sweeping EU-wide solution to rein in skyrocketing energy prices, but all they've gotten so far is the promise of an underwhelming set of tools. The record high price of power is causing major concern in EU capitals, with governments warning that failure to address the problem could spark a popular backlash against the EU and its Green Deal policies aimed at slashing emissions. Greek Minister of Environment and Energy Kostas Krekas urged action, saying that we cannot stay put and do nothing against this problem. Earlier this week, Greece called on the European Commission to consider setting up an EU-wide fund for hedging against gas price spikes. Finally, the EU's executive called for an investigation on Thursday into migrant pushbacks after a report by German media outlets Der Spiegel and ARD documented what they said were Greek and Croatian officials carrying out such operations. The EU's Home Affairs Commissioner, Ylva Johansson, said she expected a thorough investigation of the issue. Greece on Thursday denied allegations that it was carrying out migrant pushbacks on its borders and said it was acting within the framework of international law. Greek Migration Minister Notis Mitarakis said in a statement that, "We strongly deny these allegations. Greek borders are EU borders, and we operate within international and European law to protect them." That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.